Episode 137.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we talk all about the finances of internet business. You're going to want to hear this one because it's going to help you keep the books. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and find that you're building your business one night at a time.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
All right. How's everybody doing? I am your host, Mark Mason, coming to you from Dallas, Texas. This is the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, where we help you try to build your very own internet businesses, not try, do. There is no try, only do or not do. Your very own internet business. So saith Yoda, right here at the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. I hope you have been having a fantastic week. I hope you caught last week's episode and that helped you eliminate some of the procrastination that maybe you've been dealing with in your life. If not, I want to strongly encourage you to go back and check out last week's show. Lots of positive feedback on that. It's currently the most popular episode for this podcast on iTunes. That's the procrastination tips episode last week at latenightim.com/136. This week, we're going to talk about just some general internet business finance stuff. And not the boring stuff. We're not going to get into details about charts of accounts and all that kind of stuff because I'm not an accountant and I don't play one on TV. But it is a common question that people have about their internet business is, what should I do about my money? So we're going to talk about that this week. But before we get to that, there were a couple of things that I saw in the news this week that I thought were very interesting, especially for us search engine marketers who are working with search engine optimization and particularly organic search. This week, Search Engine Land is reporting that Google reaffirmed that 15% of searches that they deal with on a regular basis are absolutely brand new and have never been searched before. Now, Google processes some number of trillions of searches every year. So Google doesn't tell us exactly how many searches they're doing, but they did say back in 2012 they were doing just over a trillion searches per year. And then last year they said, they give another round number, they said 2 trillion searches per year last year. So that means it's growing. So let's say this year it's around, just for ease of numbers, 3 trillion searches per year. So for those of you that aren't good with numbers, 3 trillion is a really big number. In fact, it's 3,000 billion searches per year. Now, most years there's 365 days in a year. So if you take 3,000 and divide it by 365, that gives you the number of searches per day. And if you do that again, divide by 24, that gives you the number of searches per hour. So whatever that big number is, hundreds of millions of searches per hour, if you divide that by 15% or multiply it by 15%, that's the number of searches that Google has never seen before. Every hour, 50 million searches. Someone types in something 50 million times an hour that Google has never, ever seen before. And they've got to figure out what to say. What results do they return? I thought it was quite an amazing number, and it's hard for me to even imagine how you would process and discern what people were looking for. You talk about 50 million times of an hour, someone's asking you a question that they've never asked you before, I think that's really amazing. And so Google continues to do this sort of massive data service for us with the Google search engine. And it's very interesting to understand how many new search terms there are every year. And what does that mean for we affiliate marketers, we search engine people? It means there's always fertile ground for us to attack. In the time that I've been talking to you about this topic, there's been over a million new search terms given to Google for the very first time. A million new search terms. Now, obviously, all of those don't have high commercial intent. All of those are not worth going after. But if you are wondering whether or not it's too late to start creating content and attacking new keywords, the answer is there's 50 million new keyword phrases every hour. And so it's okay for you to go ahead and get started with your internet business today. Go listen to the episode from last week. Don't procrastinate. Start creating new content and go attack some of these 50 million keywords that are being introduced per hour and attack some of the old ones too. You'll like that result. I did want to mention to you, I get questions a lot about, hey, how did you start your podcast? And, you know, I've told that story on this show many times. I listened to Jason Van Orden and Jeremy and over at Internet Business Mastery, and I learned about internet marketing from those guys. And I was both amazed and just enamored with internet marketing and with the medium that I learned over podcasting. And I worked on internet marketing for a couple of years without podcasting. I started blogging about it soon after that, but I just knew I had to have a podcast. And most of you know, I reached out to Cliff Ravenscraft on Jason Van Orden's recommendation. I said, "Yo, Cliff, what do I need?" And he sent me a box of stuff. And here we are, almost creeping up on 8 years later since I published my first episode. Well, you may be in the same situation. I know some of you are, because I get these questions about how do you do your podcast? How much time does it take? How much work is it? And so forth. And you may have this little quiet voice, a little dream in your head about having a podcast. I'm going to tell you, listen to that voice. It's so much fun. I think you can tell I love podcasting, and I think you might too. And the best way to start a new podcast, period, bar none, is to take Cliff's course called Podcasting A to Z. I mention this just to say that there's a new podcasting course coming out on Monday. He starts a new 4-week course, and he guarantees that at the end of that course, if you follow all the steps and do all the stuff that he teaches you how to do, you'll have a podcast in iTunes and people will be listening to it. Maybe even more than just your mom and your sister will be listening to you, the sound of your voice after 4 weeks. That's amazing. It took me much longer than 4 weeks. There was no podcasting A to Z. I had a lot of stuff that I decided to figure out on my own. So if you've got that little voice who's telling you, man, I really need to start a podcast, let me encourage you to go over to podcastingatoz.com. Don't worry about all the details. Just read the testimonials. It's amazing. At last count, he had 60-something testimonials on there. He's launched hundreds of podcasts through that course. Highly recommend that if you've got that little voice, you go check that out and imagine yourself listening to your own podcast in just 4 weeks. That's really cool.
It's time to get to work building your internet business. One night at a time. One night
at a time. Okay, so I wanted to talk this week about the finances of internet business. What are the things that you need to do? But I need to start this off with a major disclaimer. I am not a professional accountant. I am not a tax attorney. I don't know anything about finances other than what other people have told me informally. I am not professionally trained. If you need accounting advice or legal advice about your business, you should seek it. I am not your attorney. I am not even an attorney. Are we clear on all that? Okay, great. So here's what I think I know. There's a couple of questions that always come up about finances. And the very first one that comes up always is, should I start my own company? And usually the answer, the question they're really trying to ask is, should I form a corporation so that I can enjoy the tax status of a corporation? And usually you end up talking about what's called a subchapter S corporation. And by the way, most of these comments that I'm going to make are U.S. centric comments because, hey, I'm from Dallas, Texas. Dallas is in the United States of America. Actually, Dallas is in Texas, which is sort of its own country all by itself, but Texas is in the U.S. of A. So I know there are analogous laws in other countries, but your mileage is going to vary on that. In any case, the question is there a huge tax advantage for me? Am I missing the boat by not starting a corporation right away? There are other reasons to start a corporation with regard to limiting your personal liability for things that happen in the business. That's a subject for another podcast. But in terms of taxes, what I've found is that, no, there's not a big impact to taxes in our case. In the case that we find ourselves in here on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, because most of us are part-time entrepreneurs. We're not making millions of dollars a year with our side business. We've got day jobs. Most of our income is coming in on a W-2 in most cases from our regular employer. And if that's you, what's going to happen typically is you're going to file your normal tax forms, the 1040, and you're going to file a special schedule that describes your business, and you're going to pay something that looks a heck of a lot like regular income taxes on the money that your business generates. And that's just going to how it's going to go, even if you form an LLC. Now, when you get to be a bigger corporation, making more money, you can do more creative things. And my understanding is there is a lot of things that you can do with a subchapter S corporation that you create either as an LLC or a regular corp. And that's definitely worthwhile. And when you're making that money, you should definitely consult a tax attorney and understand what's best for you and your business. I say don't worry about it, because I think usually what happens when new entrepreneurs are trying to get started is they get all tangled up in these finance questions about whether or not I should start a corporation. Do I need to go to LegalZoom and create an LLC? You know, what do I need to do? What you need to do is create value in your business. Printing business cards, working on the graphics for your website footer, and forming corporations and doing a bunch of this other kind of stuff that is just distracting you from the business of actually getting out there and creating value that people will pay you for. And so I want to tell you that my opinion, my personal opinion, which again is not a legal opinion and I'm not an accountant, is that some of these things like creating an S Corp LLC or whatever it is that you end up creating can wait until you're making some money and there's a reason to go do that. There are lots of reasons to create an LLC or some other kind of corporation, and I think in the fullness of time you'll want to do that. I just don't think, in my personal opinion, that should be a very high priority for you and your new online business, my opinion. What should be a very, very high priority for you is keeping your business finances completely and totally 100% separate from your personal finances. And by this, I simply mean go down to your bank, tell them that you are starting a small business and that you need a separate checking account and savings account, and only use those things for your business. If your business needs money, transfer that money from your personal account into your business checking account and use that money from your business checking account. And if you're going to be doing PayPal transactions, which you most certainly will be, create a separate PayPal account that's a business PayPal account specifically for your business, And if for some reason you need a credit card, and I want to encourage you to be very careful about generating a lot of debt with a business credit card, because a lot of times you're using that credit card to buy stuff that you don't actually need. Make sure that that's a separate credit card that you're not using to take your family out to dinner. And the reason is, if the time comes that you ever get into a situation where the Internal Revenue Service wants to understand what your true business expenses are, you're in a much better position to defend whatever it is that you're doing if there is a bright, solid line between what you're doing in your business and what you're doing in your personal life. The second reason that you want to keep your finances absolutely separate is that it makes it much, much easier for you to, on a monthly basis, tally up all the expenses and tally up all the income and understand whether or not you're making money in your business. And I think if you're going to have a business, you need to treat it like a business. And on at least a monthly basis, you need to be looking at some kind of profit and loss analysis that tells you, hey, this was a good month and I need to do more of that. Or, ooh, this wasn't such a good month. What do I need to change in order to take my business forward? I think that's really important. And then the third reason that this is important is because if the time comes that something bad happens in your business and you are in a legal situation where someone is suing you for the money in your business, one of the many factors that will influence how much money they get and whether or not they're able to get at your personal assets, like your home and your car and your savings and so forth, is whether or not that bright line between your personal finances and your business finances exists. And the brighter that line is, the better the defense is. Now, there are 100 other factors. I'm not an attorney. I think I mentioned that. But I just want to tell you, keeping that stuff separate cannot do anything but help you in terms of tax accounting, in terms of personal accountability to the profitability of your business, and in terms of liability protection. That bright line is key. And if you don't take anything away from this podcast, even if you're a sole proprietor, I want you to make sure that you've got all your finances separate for your internet business, even if you're just starting out. Your local bank will be happy to set up some very simple banking for you for your business banking. So the related question that I always get with regard to this is, well, what do you do about bookkeeping? So I understand that I need to keep all these records for taxes so I can say what my business expenses were and I can fill out my taxes and so forth. How do you keep it? And I would say that most people that I talk to, the vast majority of people that I get get started with something like an Excel spreadsheet. Actually, there's a subset of people that don't even recognize the problem until tax time. And then they're like, oh no, this is a big deal. And they're digging through their email, trying to find all of the emailed receipts that they got from all the hosting that they bought and all this other stuff that they bought during the year so that they can show expenses to offset the income that they generated during the year. But I think an Excel spreadsheet is a place to start. Now, I'm not a big fan of that, and I'm not a big fan of doing things in your business that you're not very good at. So me, as an engineer, I'm not good at accounting. I can do it. I've been a cost center manager in a large corporation. I've had accountants that worked with me to manage the finances of those cost centers, but I'm not an accountant, and I don't enjoy it. So when you're not good at something and you hate it, that's a recipe for complete and total disaster. So I personally have a bookkeeper that periodically collects up all my PayPal transactions and all that other stuff and does all of the stuff that is necessary to keep my books current. And that information gets handed off to my tax preparation accountant who does my taxes whenever they need to be done. That's what I do personally. Maybe you do your own taxes. Maybe you're comfortable with an Excel spreadsheet. Maybe you're a B school graduate and you had 4 semesters of accounting and you love doing it and you never get to do it. That's great for you. For me, I hire a very inexpensive virtual bookkeeper and she does these things for me and she does an outstanding job every period of time that I need to do that. But just recently, with all this drop shipping stuff that I've been talking to you about, I recognize that I'm going to increase the number of transactions that will impact me and my business by about 100-fold. Right now, I have relatively few transactions. I get lump sum payments in from affiliate deals that I do. I don't have any courses on the market right now, although that's going to change soon. And so the number of inbound transactions I have is relatively few. And the number of outbound transactions I have is relatively few. I pay for things like hosting and Facebook ads, which are billed on a regular basis. And so it's pretty easy for her to manage. But in a drop shipping situation, the accounting load on my business is going to go up by at least a factor of 100. Because every time someone orders a $5 widget from my dropshipping website, that's going to create a transaction that possibly has to collect taxes. If it's in the state of Texas, that money is going to come in. That's going to go to my PayPal account sometimes. Sometimes it will go to Shopify. Sometimes it will go to Amazon Pay, depending on how they pay for the transaction. And then I'm going to have to go source that product. So I'm going to have an outbound transaction to some supplier in China to drop ship it. And finally, in the middle of all this, I'm going to be paying every week, or maybe even at a higher frequency than that, Facebook for ads. And so all of these mini transactions, instead of hundreds of transactions a year, it's going to go to thousands or hopefully tens of thousands of transactions per year. So I knew I needed a better solution. So after talking to my bookkeeper, I decided to move from what she was using, which was QuickBooks Desktop, to QuickBooks Online, and she'll be doing and handling the bookkeeping for that in QuickBooks Online, which very nicely interfaces with my bank, with PayPal, and with Shopify, which is where I'm running my e-commerce business. So that's another thing that you can consider is if you look at an online solution. And these online solutions are relatively inexpensive, especially if you don't need a lot of features. You can look at something like QuickBooks Online, or another one that's really good that people really like is FreshBooks, to manage your online finances so that at the end of the year, you'll be ready to go for your income taxes and everything will be right there, because you can just manage things throughout the year. And you can use that software to accomplish the other thing that I told you about, which is a monthly profit and loss statement where you're course correcting your business throughout the year. So definitely recommend QuickBooks Online. I don't love any of these software packages. QuickBooks Online is very sexy. So is FreshBooks. Either one of those should be a great place for you to start for accounting on your online business. And I should say, if you're looking for a free solution for accounting, I haven't evaluated it. I evaluated FreshBooks and QuickBooks, and the Shopify integration for QuickBooks is free. And that's one of the things that got me going in that direction, along with the fact that my bookkeeper is a QuickBooks person. There is another app called Wave Apps. And Wave Apps is a free solution that you can use. And I understand it's very good. Accountants that I've talked to that are online business people, they love it. And so maybe that's another option for you. And my understanding is that is free. But whatever you do, you need to be taking good care of your accounting information during the year so that you don't get into this big crisis at the end of the year where you're trying to pile everything up. And one pro tip, I think if you are going to file income tax as a business, you're going to need to file a schedule along with your income taxes. And one of the things that is an important accounting piece of this is a chart of accounts. And so if you're going to do your books yourself, a pro tip is to pay an accountant a little bit of money to help you set up a proper chart of accounts. That way, when your business is small, you can use a properly constructed chart of accounts on your own. And then when it grows up, you can just hand the whole thing off to a real accountant who's properly trained. And at least you'll have the proper foundation for your accounting that they can then improve on and go off of and handle for you. So those are my tips regarding internet business finance. I strongly recommend that if you only take away one thing from all of this mess, is to make sure you have that bright line between your business finance and your personal finance that's absolutely critical for your financial health moving forward with your business. Okay, well, that wraps it up for this week. It's really great to talk to you. I've been crazy busy with the dropshipping stuff. The store's over $100 in revenue now. I'm making steady progress. I'm right on plan for kind of how this course is going, and I'm getting very, very excited. We'll keep you posted as that develops. For those of you that ended up, maybe you're one of the 1,600 people that went over to ConvertKit's PCM Product Creation Masterclass that I've been talking about for the last couple of weeks by clicking on my link to get there. Thank you very much for all those visits over there. If you're one of the people that signed up and you'd like to work with me and the group of us that are in there as we go through the course, we have a daily thread that we're posting on Facebook in the Late Night Internet Marketing Facebook group at latenightim.com/FB group. I'd love to see you there. I'm going to be available to answer some questions and reveal what I'm working on and all that kind of stuff. We're on day three of the course, so it's certainly not late for you guys to jump in and join us if you signed up during the promotion. So hope to see you over there at latenightim.com/FB group. And until next week, go get some awesome stuff done. I'm counting on you. Ciao.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then, go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
Hey, so very exciting stuff this week. I just wanted to check in with you guys. A lot of you that follow me on Facebook know that 29 days ago, or I guess 30 days ago, if you're listening to this when it downloads, I started on what I describe as a clean eating program. Now, not Whole30, but basically I'm doing five things. So I've stopped eating anything that looks even remotely like sugar or things that are easily metabolized into sugar, like wheat or, you know, anything like that, bread, cake, anything like that. I stopped eating anything that was deep fried. So I'm only eating, you know, things that are prepared in a reasonable way. I stopped artificial sweeteners. I cut out Diet Coke completely, which was really a traumatic event. And so I haven't had any artificial sweeteners. I've completely cut out alcohol. I haven't had any alcohol in 29 days. And all of this in an effort to get my blood chemistry, insulin, blood sugar under control so that I could lose weight. The results have been dramatic. I started out at 253 pounds. But the reason to mention this today is that 30 days later, today, this morning, I broke through the 230-pound barrier. I weighed 229 point something. I have a super cool Wi-Fi scale that reports my weight up to an app in the cloud and keeps track of all that. Anyway, super cool stuff. So I just thought I'd share that with you in the hopes that it would inspire you. I was inspired to do this by my friend Cliff. A lot of you know he does all of his kind of training and weight loss in full view of the whole world. And his hashtag for this is #trainwithcliff. And you'll see all kinds of pictures of him and others, maybe hundreds of others now or thousands, I don't know, that are doing this kind of lifestyle thing where they're trying to eat better and exercise better. Cliff does a ton of exercising. I do very little, but that'll change eventually. But right now I'm very focused on the weight loss and that's going swimmingly. My doctor tells me I need to have yet another 20 pounds to go. I'm going to keep after this for the full 90 days. I've got 30 under my belt. I'll easily make the next 60 and we'll see where we are then. But I thought you guys would be interested to hear that. Ciao.
Late night internet marketing.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explain to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet marketing.